Welcome on in to a little bit of a post-late edition of Stock Car Scoop. Talladega was delayed for a day, so we were as well. And boy, oh boy, did it live up to the hype. Adam, it may have taken 24 hours later, but when it was all said and done, what a monumental day for NASCAR, the Cup Series, and everybody involved. For the first time in 57 years, Adam, an African-American headed to Victory Lane in the Cup Series. This time on Monday afternoon, Bubba Wallace, he did it. He shutted all of his haters up, and he will take any win he can, whether it's rained, shortened, or not. He is a NASCAR Cup Series winner, and no one can take that away from him.
Oh, absolutely. It was kind of the waiting game. You know, I thought with the weather it was going to be, you know, Wednesday, Thursday before the Cup Series could get this thing in. But that window opened up, they got in enough time or enough laps, and Bubba raced his way to the front kind of out of nowhere near the end. He had kind of been hanging out the middle of the pack all day, and then that number 23 starts creeping up there, and then he gets out front, holds off two incredibly good racers at Talladega in Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano, each leading one of the lanes, and is able to get the job done. Really impressive job, and he's been close before. You know, he finished second Daytona a couple of months ago, so that went, especially with how many starts he's made, that win was a long time coming, and finally gets the job done and finally gets the win for 2311.
Adam, you mentioned 2311 Racing. They are first year in existence, Michael Jordan first year as an owner, and like I mentioned earlier as well, it's been almost 60 years, 57 to be exact, since an African-American has gone to Victory Lane. So, I mean, for you, Adam, just give your opinion on how big is this for Bubba, just himself, as well as his team, because his team has struggled this year. And with them expanding to 2022, just how big was this to grab a win at the end of the season before the offseason comes up and they switch from one car to two?
Oh, it's huge on so many levels. He's almost at the 150 start mark. Some guys go way beyond that and never win. You know, we talked about this before. Bubba's been really solid at Talladega. We talked about this before the race, especially last year in both races. The rain delay doesn't take anything away from that either. He was super impressive, raced up there before the rain came, got himself to the front and was blocking two Penske-led lanes before Priest went around to bring out that final caution. And Bubba, as a black driver, you know, Wendell Scott, it's been almost 60 years. It's such a huge moment for NASCAR. It's to simultaneously achieve that, you get McDonald's first win in 30 years. Of course, that's just a sponsor, but nonetheless, to be the first black driver to go to Victory Lane in, you know, nearly six decades and get his first win, also 2311's first win, and crew chief Booty Barker's first win, who's nearly at 500 Cup starts. Monday was such a momentous day on so many levels, and to add, you know, honestly, add to that the entire weekend, Brandon Brown getting his and his team's first victory on Saturday, and Tate Fogelman getting his first and Young's Motorsports second ever win. Just what a weekend as a whole. And for Wallace, I think it's a huge confidence booster because, as we said, he struggled at points this year. He did get that runner-up at Daytona to end the regular season right behind his buddy Ryan Blaney, who we saw embracing him on pit road early on Monday. So two straight great finishes at Super Speedways, and for 23XI, it's huge. They're going into next year and expanding and adding a great presence in Kurt Busch. So I think it's a huge day for them going forward.
Adam, let's dive into all three of these races, because all three races, they ended under wildly different circumstances, and none of them were normal. I mean, there was wrecking in the truck race, there was darkness in Xfinity, and there was rain postponed and then prematurely ended the Cup race. So let's be honest, could NASCAR have handled this any better, or were all three races just victims of weird circumstances?
Well, they finished the Monday race, and I didn't expect them to, well, finished as in, you know, they were able to get enough laps in to be able to call it official. And I didn't expect them to, you know, like I said, the forecast had me thinking it's going to be like Texas last fall. We don't get the race in or done until Wednesday or Thursday. But like, okay, so the truck race was weird because Tate Fogelman spinning John Hunter Nemechek kind of looked borderline intentional, but it all, on the replays, it looked like he came up at the same time Nemechek came down, probably a racing deal, but it was just weird. And then after the line, you had him and Tyler Hill wrecking and him doing his winner's interview outside of the infield care center. you know, the Xfinity race is one I think could have been helped the most, because as we saw on TV, they had all the cars, drivers and crews seemingly on pit road and set up at like 4 p.m. right after the truck race. Yeah, they didn't start until like 4:50, which gave them Eastern time, at least 4:50. It gave them like 2.5 hours, 2 hours, 45 minutes until it would get too dark to race. And they probably could have started like 4:20, 4:30 and then been good to go and probably had enough time before things got too dark. You know, there's 2013 races, both Xfinity and Cup in the spring, both finished kind of in twilight conditions. And that's kind of the way it looked. But all that said, the weather was so unpredictable, as we saw for the Cup series. It looked like rain all day on Sunday. Then the window opened on Monday. They got it going. Then the shower popped up. Then they went back racing. And then more rain comes. So I think a decent amount of the weekend was out of NASCAR's hands, and they managed what they could for the most part. But if anything, the Xfinity race starting at 20, 30 minutes earlier, you know, like as soon as the truck race is done, get everyone on pit road, you know, do the invocation, the anthem, get everyone in their cars and get going, probably would have prevented that race from ending due to darkness.
Adam, last but not least, before we call it a night, my friend, there wasn't a big one, but there was a couple crashes that collected a third of the playoffs field. Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Busch, Alex Bowman were caught up in the biggest incident, and then William Byron was in the wreck that basically ended the race. So overall, who's going to be going into the Roval with the most desperation?
Well, I could be obvious and say Byron and Bowman, but that's just picking the fruit off the lowest branch. Those are a given because they're in must-win situations, essentially. I think Kyle Busch, he has never finished better than 30th at the Roval, and it's kind of been his playoff kryptonite as of late. I think he's the guy you really need to look at in terms of desperation. Christopher Bell, maybe he can recapture the Roval magic from the Daytona Road Course and lock himself in. Ryan Blaney probably doesn't have much to worry about. He scored top 10s in each of the three Roval races. Chase Elliott the same with 2 wins and 3 tries there. And Harvick hasn't finished worse than 11th at the track. So apart from the obvious in both Byron and Bowman, who honestly Bowman might have a shot, and Byron at winning, because Bowman's got top 10s in all three of the races there. Byron in two of them, and both of the last two. Kyle Busch, I think, is the one to worry the most here. He's, you know, just that finish, I think, is going to give them the most drive going in. Never better than 30th. He's had such a rough time at that track, and I think we'll see him, you know, they'll get out on track, and they'll just be going from the drop of the green flag, trying to get themselves a win or just get themselves in position. They're above the cut line. But I think they'd like to have a win just to completely secure that spot.
It's going to be wild and it's going to be fun. And let's preview it come Friday, Adam. For all the latest on Talladega, though, check out our boy Phil Alloway. He was there at Talladega. Even got some camera time on NBC today.
He did.
I love it, man. Our
Ryan
boy
Preece
Phil.
Interview.
Exactly. I love our boy Phil. Almost running into Ryan Preece after the interview. Only Phil would do that. I can promise you that much. But for all the latest, check out frontstretch.com and our Twitter handle at frontstretch. Follow Adam on Twitter at Adam and Cheek, and follow me on Twitter at the Brian Nolan. For Adam Cheek and everybody at Front Stretch, I am Brian Nolan. Adam, talk with you on Friday, preview the Roval and the end round of 12.
Looking forward to it. Let's go road racing one more time this year.